Blog Talk Radio.
What are we going to play tonight? What do we want to play tonight? I don't know what I want to play tonight. Let's do Mars. I think we're going to like that for the start off for a while. Good evening. My name is Tracy. I am one of your hosts.
And I'm Bill, the other host.
American Conservative Party Talk Radio is on for another evening of discussing life from a conservative point of view, or at least some variations that we call American life.
Yes.
Good evening, Bill.
Eden and Tracy, hey, did you get to go golfing?
I did not get to go golfing.
Oh, man.
The weatherman said...
Yeah?
...that it was going to start off to be a great day.
Yeah?
And then it would rain in the afternoon. So I thought, get up in the morning, get the kid off to school, get myself all settled, go play some 9 holes of golf. And then enjoy the rain in the afternoon.
Yeah, sure. And the problem with that plan?
I woke up that morning, and it was pouring out.
Dang,
all
I'm
right.
Sorry.
That's all right. I wasn't very happy about the fact that apparently, like our government... The weatherman cannot predict the future even one day in advance.
Well, for the weather guy, it ought to be easy. You stick your head out of the window.
I used to play golf with a group, and I could always tell you what the weather was going to be on Saturday when we set up tee times on Wednesday or Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, you know, it's going to be a shitty day. You know, or it's going to be rainy, or it's going to be cold, or it's going to be great, or it's going to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday or Thursday, I'd say, you know, we only need 4 tee times, or we only need 8 tee times, because, you know, the weather's going to be... I always knew that on Wednesday or Thursday, and I was almost 100%, wasn't 100%, but almost 100% of the time right.
Yeah.
All I had to do was see what it was doing out in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely.
And I
look
pretty
west,
much know what it
man.
Was going to be like 2 days from now. But apparently, weathermen cannot do that.
Nope.
Apparently, they are, as somebody suggested, they're stuck in a room without windows.
Yes. Their studios are in the basement. They have no window to stick their head or their hand out.
Okay, so the question would be, if you're an economist and you work for the government and you have millions of dollars to spend to predict what is going to happen with, the budget that you are going to spend, you would think that they would be able to predict how much you're going to spend.
Yeah, you'd think.
You'd think. But apparently, in just the last 4.5 months, our economy has changed so much that the economists have simply had to throw things out the window and say, you know, we are wrong.
Ooh.
To the tune of almost $900 billion.
A mere drop in the bucket.
A mere drop in the bucket. A billion here, a billion there, and pretty soon you're talking about stormy sky.
Real muddy.
All right, so 3 reports came out in the last 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
One, the budget's the budget deficit is going to be a lot worse than they expected because, well, you know, receipts are down.
No.
Duh.
Really?
Duh. You think?
No.
Okay. Now, when I heard that yesterday, the first thought that came into my mind was, gee, I wonder what's going to happen to Social Security and Medicare if receipts are down.
Gee, you think there could be a correlation there, maybe.
And, of course, today we were informed that Social Security and Medicare is going to go broke 4 years earlier.
Wow.
Just because of the last 5 months.
Hmm.
Isn't that amazing? 5 months, you lose 4 years.
Actually, though, the government has a plan for that.
Yeah? Huh?
Yeah. No, they've got a plan for that. It's called nationalized. It's called nationalized health care.
Oh, that's going to save us trillions. That's
well,
right.
It will. Because you see, what happens with nationalized health care is you don't treat the elderly. When they die, they don't get Social Security and Medicare anymore.
Hey, if we had people dying sooner, they would collect less Social Security.
Yep.
Nah, they don't think like that, do they?
Well,
they're not really going to suggest that because somebody is 70 years old, they shouldn't get a kidney transplant because they're not going to need it for that long. They're not going to say something like that, are they?
Yeah, you know, if you'd asked me that 2 years ago, I would have said, nope, I don't think so. You ask me that today, and I'm saying, gosh, that would be kind of convenient, wouldn't it?
Well, it appears that on Saturday, that there were certain people that were hoping that a certain 60-something-year-old we know would have kidney failure.
Oh, yes. Yeah, heard that one. You betcha. And folks laughed at
that. I didn't know
that
kidney failure was fatal. Is kidney failure fatal?
Actually, you know what? It's not a really a great way to die. Had a friend that did that. A guy by the name of Johnny Wheel. Was a retired airline captain. Took some wonderful photographs from the cockpit of his aircraft. And his kidneys failed, and he was on dialysis for a while, and then he died. And folks, I can tell you, it is not a great way to go.
So I guess maybe somebody was being kind of mean.
Yep.
Well, you know, this is my opinion about mean. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Depending on who's saying those mean things, I may not even care to listen.
Exactly.
I think I said this earlier on today on a tweet. The thing about opinions is you actually have to value them before they have any value.
That's true. That is true.
And
boy, you know, there's a lot of opinions out there that aren't worth much then, as far as I'm concerned.
I think opinions are pretty much like, you know, credit cards.
This is going to be a new one on me. I haven't heard this analogy before.
Yeah. You know, the more you have on the credit card, the less value you have.
That's true.
So the more opinions you have, the less valuable they are?
I'm in trouble. I got lots of opinions.
I don't have any opinions.
No?
Nope. I do have observations, though.
Aha, okay. I feel an observation coming on here.
Yeah, I think that at the White House, is it my recollection that in the past, that at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, the president usually gets up and spends 10 minutes making fun of himself?
Yep. That's been the custom before.
I sort of recall that seemed to be a theme, that, you know, the entire 10 minutes the president just makes, you know, one, you know, joke after another where he's the butt of the joke.
Yep. Yep.
I listened to about 8.5 minutes of Barack Obama's, White Horse Correspondents' speech on Saturday.
You're a brave person.
I don't know that I heard a single self-deprecating account.
Well, you, there's a valid reason for that, you know.
When you think you're God, there's not much to criticize.
Well, and when the comedy writers say, gosh, there really isn't anything funny about this because he's much too serious a guy, there isn't anything funny there.
Barack Obama is the goofiest-looking president we've had since George Bush.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Lends himself well to caricature.
He does.
Yes, he does.
I look at him and go, okay, George Bush wearing a cowboy hat goes sucks.
Yeah.
Okay. I can actually see, Barack Obama with a cigarette hanging off the corner of his mouth and his pants dragged down half his hips with his butt crack sticking out.
Yeah.
Flapping his ears.
Yeah.
Goes, hey, what's going on in the hood? What's going on in the hood? I can see that. Got a problem with saying that.
Michael Ramirez captures him pretty well.
I haven't seen too much. Not that I really care, because of course, I don't care. Particularly about the person.
Nope. Care a lot about the policies.
I care much more about the country than I do the president.
Yep.
He's just a hired hand.
Yep. Supposedly works for us.
Yeah. He might be the president, but he's still a servant.
He's supposed to be. Yep.
Supposed to be.
He's certainly not a messiah. Sorry about that, Libs.
You know what? I really don't think the liberals think he's a messiah. I certainly think he's godsend to them.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think if you look at the liberal commentary and expressions on the various liberal sites, he comes close to being a religion for him.
Oh, well, dispute that particular point of view.
Yeah.
But, I'm sitting here, and I have I brought myself three snacks for the show today.
Really?
Actually, it's not for the show, because I talk too much. So I'm trying to have a snack during the show is kind of hard.
It's tough, yep.
But I did bring three snacks down for when I was doing show prep. Now, let me tell you what they are.
Okay.
Because I'm sure one of them you're going to be aware of. Second one you may not know anything about. The third one you'll kind of go, Tracy?
Okay.
First one is, can you hear that crunchy, crunchy, crunchy?
I can hear that.
That's a bullseye. Do you know what a bullseye is?
No.
You don't know what a bullseye is?
I'm sorry. I have no idea what a bullseye is.
It's a caramel with a little bit of white, creamy stuff in the center.
Oh, yeah?
You've never seen a bullseye?
I haven't. Nope.
I'm going to send you one by mail.
Hey, there you go.
The second item on my agenda is an iced almondette.
Oh, yeah.
The cookie.
Yeah.
Almond cookie. I like them with a little bit of icing on there. They're pretty good. Iced oatmeal, except for that.
Yeah. Right.
And I have a little pint container with grapes, blueberries, strawberries, cantaloupe, and pineapple in it.
Well, that's pretty healthy.
That's darn healthy.
Yeah.
Now, can you tell me what all three of these things have in common?
Well, I probably can. And before I tell you what they have in common, I want to commend you. You will single-handedly solve the tax receipts problem for the United States of America.
That has been my goal for months.
I understand, and you are well on your way to getting there. Because every one of them, under what has been talked about by dear comrade leader, will be taxed because of their sugar content and salt content and fat content. Yes. So,
well, then I better just stick with my Dr. Pepper then.
I'm sorry. Unless it's a diet Dr. Pepper with no sugar in it, you ain't going to get away from the man that quick.
Sorry. Vanilla and cherry. That's what's in there. Cherry vanilla, Dr. Pepper. Yes. Okay, what's this stupid? We're going to tax sugar, and we're going to tax salt, and we're going to tax fat, and we're going to... Oh, man.
And by the way, we're going to use the receipts for that to provide you health care.
Oh, joy. I'm going to have
to... Oh, yeah. So that we don't have to pay out so much in Social Security and Medicare.
Yeah. Okay. I don't care if they tax sugar. Don't care.
Yeah?
They tax beer. They tax food. They tax medicine. They tax gas. You know, if they want to tax sugar, they can tax sugar. Here's what I'm concerned about.
Okay.
If they start taxing what I'm breathing, oh, wait a second. They're going to do that, too.
Yeah, they are. You're a little late on that one.
Yeah, happen, Trey. Yeah, who produces more CO2?
Yes,
me
it does.
Me or Ollie? Yes, you. I'm looking at my dog, who just looked up at me like, who are you talking to me? Let me tell you, he may be only 9 months old, but let me tell you, those farts, and
little puppy farts,
where something died in there last year. And they got to be full of CO2.
Oh, I'm sure.
Methane, sulfur.
Yep. Which, by the way, is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because EPA is saying, we're going to rule. We're going to make a federal rule. That's kind of like a federal action.
Yeah.
That will regulate CO2 and methane and fluorocarbons and all of those other kinds of things that, regardless of how you live, you aren't getting away from. So here's a question for you and the legal eagles out there. If the federal government decides to regulate those, I think that is a federal action. If that is a federal action, doesn't that come under the EPA rules to prepare an environmental impact report?
I thought they had an environmental impact report that said that CO2 was killing us.
I'm talking about the rulemaking procedure.
The impact of the rule.
Yes.
I see.
And
well,
if you say, interesting thought, maybe that does apply, then they have to bring the economics into it, because that is one of the mandatory items they have to cover.
Well, if the goal is to regulate something,
yes,
you want to reduce it, correct?
That's true.
Because that's the whole idea of regulation, is if you want more of something, you tax it less.
And leave it alone.
Regulate it less.
Yep.
If you want less of something, you tax it more, you regulate it more.
Yes, indeed. Works every time. I don't know of a single instance where that doesn't work.
So if you want less CO2, you're They're going to tax and regulate CO2.
Mm-hmm.
And see, this is the only way that the only ones that can control how much CO2 is produced is humans. Therefore, less CO2 by humans means that you need less humans producing CO2. Well, that fits right in with the healthcare system of shortening our lifespan.
Certainly does. Absolutely.
I've asked this question. CO2 just grew dramatically in the last 100 years, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How many people have joined us on this planet this century? This last 100 years?
Oh, my gosh. Has to be multi-billion.
Right. We've tripled. We've gone from, like, 2 billion to 6 billion.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Well, if you got 4 billion people breathing more than you had 100 years ago,
mm-hmm.
that's got to be a shitload of carbon that's being bred. You know, breathe it. Hey!
Yep.
No chewing the blinds, dog.
Yeah. We have
I wonder if I give him
too.
A grape, what would happen?
Ooh,
oh,
he might
no,
like
I
it.
I don't want... No more CO2 from Ollie, please.
Yeah, right. Put him on a veggie diet.
Yes. All right, so. We are in agreement. First of all, the government cannot predict itself one day in advance, let alone
nope.
1 year in advance.
Nope.
And it's going to regulate my grape. And my
yes,
cantaloupe.
It is.
And
yep.
my strawberry.
And your Dr.
my blueberries.
Pepper. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Not to mention my Dr. Pepper. Okay.
Keep your hand. Pry my Dr. Pepper from my cold, dead fingers, right?
Well, I like cold Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, well, I know.
All right. So we are in agreement. As of today, the government is a bunch of bollocksing morons.
Boy, you're feeling particularly diplomatic tonight, aren't you?
Well, somebody, I've got to say this. It was actually somebody that I follow on Twitter
mm-hmm.
who's a raging liberal. I mean, the guy is just nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But he has been polite in debate, so I'll give him at least that. That's
okay.
why I follow him, so it's kind of okay.
Okay.
He linked onto a story about a guy that was getting onto a plane on the East Coast, and he was stopped and searched and refused to be boarded.
Really?
Now, in the back of your head, you're thinking, Muslim? Nope. In the back of your mind, you're thinking, boisterous, redneck looking for drinks? He got stopped because he was reading a book. Now you're thinking, the Quran? Nope. Mein Kampf? Nope. How to make a nuclear bomb in 5 easy steps from the internet? Nope. It was a book about some guy that protested the building of bridges and dams. But on the cover was a picture of a character holding sticks of dynamite.
Oh, my gosh.
So they want to know who he was and why was he reading that book.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
So
he was denied boarding because of a stupid book.
Look, actually, not even the book. It was just the cover of the book.
This is the cover of the book. All right. Now, the reason I bring this up is not because the TSA is a bunch of idiots.
Because they are, but nevertheless.
I've actually found most of them to be very nice, competent people trying to get something done in a horrendous environment.
Hmm.
But that is not to say that the TSA, as a general rule, follows the perfect government playbook, which is zero tolerance.
Mm, yeah. Yep.
Zero tolerance in my opinion, is in place for one and only one reason. Lawmakers believe that people are too stupid to use their judgment wisely.
Yes.
These are the people that we want running our health care?
Not really. Actually, I think it goes even beyond that. I think it also is, oh gosh, we have a potential problem. Not a problem, but a potential problem with 1/100th of 1% of these folks. So therefore, we will regulate, control, and corral everybody to get to those folks. That's,
you know,
scary.
Well, and of course, I know you understand this. The problem with realizing that 1 out of every 100,000 might be a problem, and therefore
mm-hmm.
we're going to search, you know, every 100,000.
Yep.
Is that 99,999 times?
Yeah.
You're just going to piss somebody off.
Exactly. And they do regularly. I mean, how many times have we heard, gosh, you're really going to search that 89-year-old grandmother in a wheelchair, and you let this young, demographically perfect, or at least demographically fits the forbidden word profile of somebody who actually does something? I'm sorry. That doesn't pass the laugh or smell test.
I want to be profiled.
You want to be or you don't want to be?
I want to be profiled.
Job, profile me. That's fine.
Right, because if they look at me and go, you don't fit the profile, move along, then I'm going to get 99% of the time, I'm going to be able to just go straight through, because if they're profiling me,
mm-hmm.
they're going to ignore me.
Exactly.
I'm fat. I'm ugly. You know, I'm not carrying... Well, I do carry books around.
Uh-oh. Check the covers.
Science fiction. Which usually have explosions,
that's even worse.
And guns and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they got ray guns and stuff.
I get a question. I'm not... Yes, I'm going to tout my blog. Did you see my blog in the last couple of days?
No, I have not seen it in the last 3 days.
Okay, I put up a post the other day, either Sunday evening or Monday morning, something like that, and it was in relationship to something that Barack Obama said at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Mm,
he said,
okay.
We can all agree upon Michelle's right to bear arms.
Oh, gosh.
That's silly.
Yeah, that is silly.
And she was sitting there holding her arms up going, ah, I got bare arms.
Yeah.
Right.
Look at my hairy
anyway.
Arms, or whatever they are.
They're pretty skinny-ass arms.
Yeah,
you know,
actually,
honestly,
they are.
You know, Michelle Obama, you really need to do a little bit of exercise, because those twigs you got at the end of your shoulders, you know, pretty scrawny-looking. That's what I got to say. Pretty scrawny-looking.
Yep.
But what I did on my blog post is why I said, you know, Sarah Palin has a right to bear arms, and I had a picture of Michelle Obama next to Sarah Palin holding one of the National Guard.
Oh, yeah.
Gun. And I said, you know, given a choice between the two, I think I prefer Michelle, I prefer Sarah's bearing arms.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Anyways.
Because?
I guess you'd have to go see it. Go see it. moderatemainstream.blogspot.com. Anyways. I wanted to get some other things happened over the last couple of days that I wanted to kind of go into that are just miscellaneous little things.
Okay.
Do you follow The Apprentice?
No. In fact, I don't think I've ever even seen the show.
we have seen, I think they've had 8 seasons. I think we really watched 2 and kind of touched bases on 1 or 2 other ones. Victoria has watched, I think, 6 of the seasons. And she spent a little bit of time watching this season, not very much. But the finale was the other night. And the final 2 players, this was a celebrity version of The Apprentice. They're playing for a big chunk of change for their favorite charities.
Okay.
And the final 2 players to go into the finale were Joan Rivers.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know what? I only know her first name. I don't remember what her last name is. Her name is Annie. She is a world champion poker player. And these were the 2 that were going into the finale. And Joan Rivers was a liberal.
Yep.
Which means that she had all kinds of nasty comments to be said, but of course no one could hold her to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I very much did not like Joan Rivers, you know, in this position, and it was clear from everything that I've heard over the weekend that everybody was just like cheering for her. Now, this is a 70-year-old woman against, you know, a 30-something, early 40-something woman.
Mm-hmm.
Very big difference in there, and Joan Rivers, and I don't understand this, is very beloved by the left. Frankly, I can't tolerate her more than about 2 minutes in her most common position, which is talking to celebrities going into some kind of award show. She was just mean-spirited. Vicious. And so she won.
Really?
Yeah, she won.
Huh.
And I kind of went, and of course Victoria was all happy about it, and I'm sure lots of other people were happy about it.
Well, I'm sure.
But that wasn't the only place that Trump was involved in the last couple days.
You know, I think I've seen his name mentioned a time or two on news and Twitter and various other places.
There has been a little bit of controversy concerning the Miss America pageant.
Yes.
And a question asked of Miss California.
Yes.
By one Perez Hilton.
Yes.
Who is primarily a blogger, but who's gotten himself to be, you know, pretty well known on the left, a gossip blogger.
Yes.
He asked the question of Miss California about gay marriage.
Yes, he did.
And her response was exactly the same, precisely the same response as Bill Clinton.
And?
Hillary Clinton.
And?
Barack Obama.
No.
And Perez Hilton had the following word for Miss California's response to his question. Cunt.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch.
Yep.
I don't recall him saying any problems with Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, or Barack Obama having that position.
Nope. I don't recall that either. Although I have to confess, I don't read his blog, so it could have escaped me.
Well, today, Donald Trump had a press conference with Miss California.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them said exactly the same thing. She said what Barack Obama said, so what exactly is the problem?
Well, not only that. I mean, that's a big enough issue. What in the world is a homosexual male doing judging a female beauty pageant?
Are you crazy?
I'm sorry. I mean, that logic simply escapes me.
Of course it does. Actually, that makes perfect sense.
I see. Okay.
It really does. I mean, it makes, from my perspective, it makes perfect sense.
Okay.
You do not ever see Queer Eye for the Straight Guy?
No.
Ah! Such
am I culturally depraved now or something? What?
Such cultural illiteracy, I swear.
Yeah.
Well, you have to understand that, in fact, many gay men are very tasteful men.
I don't doubt that.
And have a excellent eye for style and things. So I don't particularly have I think that that's actually a very good question. However, Perez Hilton is not an example of a gay man with style and taste.
Okay?
I don't care from wherever you might be looking, but he has absolutely none of the above.
Hmm.
He is a tasteless, stylistically barren, I was going to say husk of a man, but he's not even much of a husk.
Yeah.
So, and it is apparent that he is a moron.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
I
did want to have a little conversation about Miss California. I did think that it was stupid for, the left to go after her, much the same way that it went after Joe the Plumber. And my problem is not with the left having gone after them, which I think was stupid. It's that the right has gone, oh, we have to embrace them and make them this icon. And I'm sitting like going, no.
No.
Joe the Plumber was a guy on the street, and while that's, his question was good and it was accurate and stuff like that, it didn't suggest that he was anything more than Chelsea the Gardener.
That's exactly right.
And
so for that, he gets investigated officially by the state that he lives in.
The stupidity of the left. To go after anyone that dares to say anything that can be construed as a question,
mm-hmm.
for Barack Obama,
mm-hmm.
it's just nuts.
Gee, Messiah much?
But my problem with the left is that they're going after these people. My problem with the right is that the right is elevating them to some kind of sainthood simply because they were, normal people.
Tracy, I don't know. It seems to me that when you have somebody that does something innocuous, Joe the Plumber asks a perfectly legitimate question. Miss California answers in a perfectly legitimate way the question put to her, and they are unmercifully personally attacked. It seems to me somebody needs to stand up and say, wait a minute, that's wrong. I think that that's where their, quote, fame comes from. Not that anybody wants to elevate them to some sainthood position, but simply to say, what you people on the left are doing is absolutely, totally out of bounds and wrong.
But look, the Republican Party took Joe the Plumber and they started making him, a spokesperson for the party.
Yep, and that was stupid, in my opinion, but... Nevertheless.
But I've been hearing about it. I've been reading about it for the last 3 days. She'd make a great spokeswoman for the Republican Party. I'm sitting there going, why?
Because she answered that one question that way? Don't think so. Other than her grace under pressure.
If conservatives are going to want people that will espouse specific principles, then they better be able to stand on those principles. And I'm not suggesting that they have not.
Right.
But, I can walk down the street and stand on my principles. That doesn't make me a great spokesperson for the Republican or conservative parties.
Oh, no, absolutely right.
And so their elevation of Joe the Plumber and Miss California, and I'm sorry, I don't know her name.
Carrie Prejean. Prejean is her last name. I think her first name is Carrie, but I'm not positive on that one.
Prejean. I didn't see the competition. It's not something that I have ever had any particular interest in.
Yep.
I think it's the mustard issue from last week.
Yeah.
Barack Obama
got
mustard on her.
Yeah, really.
the people on the left were going like, they're making a big deal about the mustard. And I'm sitting there like going, okay, which is the bigger loser here? The ones that are making fun of Barack Obama, using Dijon mustard, or the ones making fun of the people making fun of Barack Obama using, mustard?
And what would have been the howls of outrage if he had said, "Oh, make my mustard French's, please."
Look, get a life, people.
Yeah.
Goddamn hamburger.
Yeah, exactly. With apparently everything on it. So if you don't like mayo and mustard and stuff on your hamburger, you probably don't want to go have lunch with Barack.
Frankly, if somebody called me up tomorrow and said the president would like you to have lunch with him tomorrow.
Yeah?
I'd go.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Why?
I got nothing planned for lunch, and he's buying.
Ah, okay. I'm having a spam sandwich myself, so, I'm kind of have a previous commitment, but...
Well, that's kind of my thing. I have always been that when somebody extends a social invitation,
mm-hmm.
unless I have something specific already planned,
mm-hmm.
I believe it's an obligation to accept.
Really?
Yeah. Even, yes, all you people, all 14 of you that are listening, yes, even if I don't necessarily like the person, if the person has extended the invitation, then I feel a certain amount of obligation to say okay.
So,
unless there's something already specifically set up.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
We are both of us on Twitter.
Yes.
As are millions of other people.
Yes.
When you get somebody that follows you,
yes.
do you automatically follow them back?
No.
Ah, how come?
I generally am interested in hearing what the person has to say.
Mm-hmm.
Given Twitter's limitations, that means that they're going to have to be, brief and to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have very few updates, then I have very little to go on.
Yep.
But that's not the situation that we're talking about.
I beg to differ. Same principle applies, I think.
Here's why. Because if a person,
mm-hmm.
has an extensive history of comments, updates, and I can see what the person says, it really doesn't make any difference to me whether it is a person on the left or the right. And whether they have lots of followers or I do look at, are they following a lot of people but not a lot of people following them? I'm being discriminatory because there's a lot of spam out there.
Yeah. You're making my point for me. Go ahead.
No.
Yeah.
If somebody that I have met through the American Conservative Party starts to follow me, I follow them.
Okay.
Okay. If somebody on one of the other websites that I frequent starts to follow me, I will follow them.
Okay.
If Barack Obama started to follow me, I'd follow him. Now, not the White House,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, you know, that stupid Twitter account with 8 million people on it.
Yeah, exactly.
It has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, right.
Okay. You know, but I mean, if Barack Obama himself on his personal account started following me, I'd follow him. Okay.
Hmm.
No, I tend to be a little bit more discriminatory because I have little information on the person that is asking me to follow.
And you think you have more valid information on Barack Obama?
Certainly. I understand. I have a lot of information about Barack Obama. Not the least of which he's the President of the United States. And despite the fact that I think he is a goof, a moron, and totally in over his head, he is in fact the President of the United States.
To our everlasting shame and sorrow.
And if he invites me to the White House for lunch, especially if I get to fly in Air Force One.
Oh, God,
I'm
over New York?
I'm going. You know? Now, that's not good. Now, I'm not going to come out of that lunch and go, Barack Obama, greatest thing since sliced bread. I'm going to come out of that lunch and go, it was a great meal. Thanks for the conversation. Still think he's a moron.
Well,
you know, I'm pretty certain that that would be my response, unless he came out of lunch and goes, okay, I've been a moron. Tracy's right. We're changing the whole thing. Then I'll come out of that and go, okay, you know, he learns. He accepts teachable moments.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Like, you know, a conservative Supreme Court justice starting to rule liberally on the court. You know, Barack Obama, once exposed to my brilliant discussion, turns tail and goes to the conservative side. You know, no, I don't have any particular problem with the idea. You know, first of all, I don't have to worry about it. But of course, you know, if Sarah Palin invited me for lunch, I'm there too.
In a heartbeat. You betcha.
And by the way, I do follow Sarah Palin.
As do I.
Well, you know, that is the only quote-unquote celebrity that I follow.
Actually, I like to follow political types, only because they might slip up and actually tell me what they're thinking as opposed to what they'd like me to hear. And that doesn't, I mean, that goes for lib, conservative, whatever. I would decline the invitation to the White House simply because when I follow, there's got to be some indication that those folks are going to add value for me. And quite
right,
frankly,
and again,
their comrade leader doesn't add value for me.
Again, not from the White House. I'm not interested
in that. No, I understand. Yeah.
But, you know, from a personal basis, yeah, I'd follow him on a personal basis. If in fact, you know, he didn't have 18 million followers doing it.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I have there's somebody that I follow who follows me, who has 21 followers, or he follows 21 people.
Okay.
Now, you know, lots of people only follow 21 people, but he has over 2,000 followers.
Okay.
Okay, so to be one of the 20 or so people that he follows,
you bet.
Yeah, it was very positive, and we have, you know, he has things that I don't always agree with him, but we do have, you know, some pretty common ground on a lot of things. So that is kind of nice. And one of the reasons that I follow Sarah is for things like what happened today.
Ah.
You may have noticed Two more of the ethics complaints against Sarah Palin were dismissed.
Yep, they sure were.
Number 10 and number 11.
Yep, and they were termed baseless by the commission investigating.
Oh, they didn't even get to the commission. You know, just the first review said it was baseless, and the commission didn't even have to approach it.
Cool.
So, I mean, it's getting they're getting tossed out right off there. I want to go back to one thing. You were in the military, yes?
Yes. We both were.
What? You were not in the Air Force.
I was in the Air Force, 1960 to 1964.
Okay. One of the things that I liked about when I went into the Air Force was, we're going to tell you what to do, we're going to tell you how to do it, and then we're going to tell you why we're going to do it.
And then, according to an old sergeant of mine, we're going to tell you what we told you.
One of the things that I... This goes back to, you know, teachers and the TSA and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, the why is so that you could use your judgment.
Exactly.
You could question what was going on. Now, they were very explicit in the point of view that when you're given a direct order...
You obey that.
Okay, you obey it.
That's right.
But in a great number of circumstances, okay, there is the opportunity to ask why.
Yep.
And the effort would be made to give you the why at the time, mm-hmm. you know, so that you can use your best judgment.
Yep.
That's the problem. That's what's missing out of government right now, is that there is no best judgment. There is no attempt whatsoever to suggest that anybody has half a brain capable of being used.
I agree.
And it's
and in fact, I would go even further than that, and I would say there really isn't even a plan. This is all ad hoc. They have points that they want to cover, yes, absolutely. Those were predetermined 2 years ago. But how they are doing it is absolutely ad hoc.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And
of course, you know, we're going to try and make government part of the healthcare system with exactly the same mindset. And
yeah.
It's just dangerous on its face.
Oh, absolutely.
Speaking about dangerous.
And in fact, there's a humorous thing that I want to relate, and I saw it on Twitter.
Go.
And it was, let's see. You want the people of $700 hammers for the military to mess with the system that gives you $45 aspirins?
Yeah.
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 I thought that was kind of, yeah, okay. I mean, you know, it all depends on how you perceive things here.
Yeah, and no, you cannot go to the store and buy that $45 aspirin.
No, you can't. Check your meds at the desk.
All right. The reason, you know, but, you know, stupidity is not the sole bailiwick of government.
No, it isn't.
Apparently, the National Republic Senatorial Committee has not only drank the Kool-Aid, they apparently just guzzle the powder before even putting it in water.
I think you're probably right.
Because they have suggested that they are very interested in supporting for the Senate position of Florida one certain Mr. Charlie Crist.
Yes. And in fact, Senator John Cornyn, Senator Mitch McConnell have come out and endorsed him already. The same day that he announced.
And, you know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
I'm eating a piece of cantaloupe. Probably from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it has more brains in it than Crist or the senatorial committee.
Yeah, absolutely.
The guy's more of a rhino than an African rhino with a horn sticking out of its head.
Absolutely. And the bad thing about all of this is that they have no idea how many people they are driving away by doing that. I mean, first off, you have to ask yourself, what in the world is a national anything in either party got doing messing with a primary? The primary is about the people of that district, that state, saying, here is who we want to represent us. Why in the world would a national party or a national committee get involved in that? They don't know what the issues are in that state. They don't know what the feel of that state is.
It is clear from their position that the discussion about whether the Republican Party has gone too far to the center or too far to the right is not only falling on deaf ears, it's falling on dead ears.
Yes. Absolutely.
All right.
And if they don't get a handle on it, they in fact will be a minority party for the next 40 years.
Well, I'm out of it.
I'm out of it, and in fact, every chance I get on Twitter, I'm saying, folks, you all are upset with the Repubs. Take a look at the American Conservative Party, and I've gotten a couple of people that have actually joined.
Yeah, I point people towards it all the time, and they say, you know, just because I'm a conservative doesn't mean I'm a Republican. Hey, you know, American Conservative Party, come on over.
That's exactly right.
We have
3 minutes,
and I have three more things on my list.
Oh, gosh. We better hurry then.
Okay. First one is short. We brought this up last week, and I wanted to be able to get this in. I want you and I to have a debate about evolution.
Yes. Versus intelligent design.
Yep. I'm imposing the first condition.
Okay.
We can have a debate about evolution.
Okay.
If you will define what you believe to be a scientific theory, and you can show that ID fits that definition, then I will consider a debate on the merits of evolutionary theory against intelligent design.
I'm going to defer a decision on that.
That's
while
all right.
I think about that a little bit, because you just tipped me with that one out of the blue.
I did. Told you it was going to come. Didn't tell you what it was going to be.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so you can think about that, and we'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
And we'll go on from there. And I want you to hit me out of the blue how you approach that next week.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right. Two more things. Somebody said, I'm not going to be able to do that.
Okay.
Desi Ventura said that he wanted 1 hour, Dick Cheney, and a waterboard.
Yep.
And he would be able to get out of Dick Cheney all kinds of confessions.
Yep.
And I thought for a second, now, Jesse Ventura was the governor of Minnesota, which is right next door here, and a lot of people thought it was kind of funny that he won, and, you know, I kind of thought it was kind of interesting, but, you know, hey, Fred Grandy got to be, you know, senator, Ronald Reagan was governor and then president. Anything's possible, you know? You know, Jesse Ventura, sorry, dude, but I don't know that you'd know what to do with the waterboard, and, you know, Dick Cheney shoots his friends in the face with a gun.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know if it's such a good idea, you going into a room alone with Dick Cheney and a waterboard, because you're likely to come out going, crying like a little baby.
Careful on that one. You do recall that he is an ex-SEAL, right?
Oh, well, I understand that.
Okay.
With 28 seconds left.
Okay.
American Conservative Party, check it out.
Yep.
Bill, got any shout-outs? You got 20
Tracy?
Seconds.
Shout-outs to Small Talk With It on Twitter and to all of my buds at Conservative Talk.
Next week should be an interesting week.
It will be.
We'll have
a target-rich environment.
Talk to you next week.
All righty, Trace. Take care.
We're good.
Hey, we got another one in
like
the can.
Right on the money.
All right. God, I love it when a plan comes together. Okay, kiddo. You got any ideas about what we're doing next week, or too early?
Yeah, too early. I mean, the only thing that I didn't get on my list of, I think I had 10 things. 10 things on my list was somebody had said that Barack Obama fit the profile of never was. Yeah, I think I got the general idea, but what I said was, well, yeah, Barack Obama never was an executive, never was competent, never was a senator, never was a messiah.
Right.
And when you think about all the people that he surrounded him with, you know, Hillary Clinton never was a diplomat.
Right.
Robin Emanuel was never a team player.
Yeah.
And
that's true.
That was basically what I was thinking was, you know, you know, maybe in 100 years, Obama
Tim Geithner
will be
never worked in the finance industry.
Yeah. You know, maybe we'll 100 years from now go the Obama presidency that never was.
Yeah. Very good. I like that. Remember that line. That's a good line. You betcha.
So, other than that,
okay.
No, I'm 10 deep into petitions.
All right.
Oh, have you ever heard of the Libertarius Americus medal?
No.
Okay. There was a medal produced in the 1700s. Ben Franklin designed it. And it was to commemorate victories in the American Revolution.
Really?
Uh-huh. Never heard of it before.
Not by that name, I haven't.
The medal has a couple of interesting things on it. Look it up on Google. Go dig it up. There's plenty of stuff on it. The reason I bring it up is somebody made a comment on a blog about a week ago about how there is so little recognition for conservatives, people that promote conservative ideals or, you know, that contribute to the conservative movement. And I got the idea that it was like, you know, the whole idea of the Nobel Prize was to, you know, promote excellence in those fields.
Yes.
And, of course, primarily on the Peace Prize, it's been, you know, bastardized is probably a nice word for it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's certainly been marginalized. And then I started thinking, well, yeah, what happens if you had a Liberty Medal? Like the Nobel Prize, but given to people that promote liberty.
I like that.
And, you know, we can call it the American Liberty Medal. Well, when I stuck that into Google, bingo, came up this medal that has already been designed and used 250 years ago.
Boy, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah. Now, I don't know that it's a perfect recreation of it would be a great idea. But here's what I was thinking. If you had a system by which about 8 to 10 medals were given out every other year, 10 ounces of gold in the medal.
Ooh.
Okay, that makes it worth about $8,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. and every 2 years would make them fairly rare.
Mm-hmm.
And adding, you know, a prize to it, big prize,
mm-hmm.
$50,000 or $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Which would require, let's say, $100,000, 10 prizes. That would require about $1.1 million every 2 years.
Okay.
And then a little bit of administrative things, put it at around $250,000 for administration for the 2 years. And then have two groups. A group that nominates and a group that selects.
Mm-hmm.
The nomination would be of people that had been formerly nominees.
Mm-hmm.
And then some other people. And then the selection group would be secret.
No elected officials.
Huh?
No elected officials.
No elected officials.
Yep.
Well, you might actually get somebody that actually did something smart and good. And was
no, no, no. I meant on the selection committee.
Oh, hell, fucking, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so you have a nomination committee and a selection committee, and then, you know, every other year, 10, you know, you'd have probably 3 or 4 nominees in 10 categories.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up with 7 right off the top of my head.
Cool.
And now it would need an endowment, assuming a 5% return. Hang on a second. I had the number. I forget what it was. Okay. 1350000. Is that right? Divided by 0.05.
Mm-hmm.
$27 million.
Mm-hmm.
$27 million endowment pretty much makes it in perpetuity.
Yep.
$27 million could be raised.
Yep.
In my opinion.
I think so.
Might
take a couple of years to get there, but yeah.
Yeah, if the plan was to announce the Liberty Medals in odd years for a specific reason. There would be no benefit.
The election cycle.
To get out, right, to be in the election cycle.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
So 2011, 2013, 2000.
Yep.
We could probably get a really good start on raising money over the next 2 years to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there. Anyways, so there is a new website.
Oh, ho, ho.
Call the American Liberty Medal.org. I have not put it up yet.
Oh, okay.
But I own the domains.
Okay.
I have .org, .com, .info. I have 4 of them.
.biz, .net?
.net.
.net, okay.
Net, org, com, and info.
Mm-hmm.
American Liberty Medal.
Mm-hmm.
And I've started working on the design.
Really?
I'm assuming you're not at your computer, so you can't look.
No, actually, I am at my computer.
Okay.
I don't know for how much longer because my phone beeped at me a little bit ago, but I'm here.
Okay. Go try and pull it up. It's the Libertas Americas.
Let me see. So in my search engine, I should type in what?
Libertas Americana Medal.
Libertas.
Americana
Medal. Okay.
And one of the first ones that you'll probably come up with is a MySite certified gold coins?
Collector's Corner of the Collectibles Marketplace. Second one is Libertas Americana. Libertas Americana, the most famous of all American metals. U.S.
Yeah,
rare
look,
coin investments. USA.
Look at, look at any one of them, because they're basically going to look at the coins. And hopefully they'll show you the coin front and back.
Yeah, let me see what I get here. Ooh. Got somebody fending off the lion, protecting the baby with a shield.
The baby is Hercules.
Ah.
Okay.
Who is the woman?
Minerva.
Really?
Here's what it was written. Franklin said this. The figure of an infant Hercules in his cradle strangling the two serpents representing the United States and France by that of Minerva, sitting by as his nurse with her spear and helmet and her robe specked with a few fleurs, extinguishing the two armies in one war is that what rarely happened, and it gives presage to the future force of our growing empire. It has three dates on it. Two of those dates are for the Battle of Battle of Yorktown and Saratoga.
Uh-huh.
Are the two on the back, and of course 4th of July 1776 on the front. So that's the medal that was originally struck by Franklin, designed by Franklin, and given out in the past.
Wow.
Now, I'd still do the Libertas Americana on it with the 1776 on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But on the back, I'd prefer to have something else. Well, I'd rather have different icons.
Ah, multiple. Okay.
Well, the first icon, the problem is the first one, unless you know what the back is, there's no way, the cultural illiteracy, no one's going to know what it is.
Exactly.
And the front side has even got a few problems with it, too. So, on the front, I'd like to have the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the other liberty that... What other symbols... And this was the tweet that I sent just before the show started. What other symbols scream... Liberty.
Liberty Bell?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, talk about cultural illiteracy. Almost everybody recognizes that one.
Okay.
Statue
of Liberty on the front, Liberty
yeah.
Bell on the back?
Yeah, okay. That could be one. See, after Liberty Bell, I'm saying, well, okay, now what? I mean, if you talk about representing liberty, not the United States of America.
Correct.
Yeah. That gets a little more difficult.
Well, obviously, any eagle with, you know, the arrows in the claws
is the U.S.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, in my mind, that equals liberty, but that's not. I'm not sure that it's a universally recognized symbol of liberty.
Well, it wasn't 100% my idea.
No? Who else chimed in on it?
Well, nothing. I was suggesting that it just didn't come to me. It came because somebody else noted that there wasn't any way to recognize people that were promoting liberty or conservative
values. As a sci-fi fan, I like a rocket leaving Earth orbit, but that's kind of me. And again, I'm not sure how that would. I'm not sure that you could ever. Anybody could ever claim that was a universal symbol of liberty.
Well, I was going to say, isn't the space station named Freedom?
I think it is. I mean, again, as a sci-fi fan, I love that, but I'm trying to think of universal symbols as opposed to American symbols. Although, and that gets difficult because historically in our existence we have been about liberty.
Right.
Other nations not so much. So that makes it a little more complicated. Might have to go back into antiquity. Might have to go back into Grecians and Romans and that kind of stuff to get some symbols.
Which is why they've got, why Franklin used Minerva and Hercules.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I need to give that some thought, too. That is an interesting project. I like that project.
It's something that I think needs to be kept on the QT for a while.
Oh yeah. No, I'm not suggesting that I want to go out and buy advertising in the New York Slime or anything, but it is a great concept. Thank you, Ben Franklin. I love the idea of a counterweight to the Nobel Prizes, and I particularly love the emphasis on conservatives and liberty. I mean, that just pushes all the right buttons for me.
Yeah.
And it will for a lot of people.
And it needs to be, the focus in my mind is, for the winner, who promotes liberty, who by their actions or words promotes, liberty itself. Promotes liberty. Now, liberty can be in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I had a conversation with somebody, a debate that went on over the weekend. You may or may not see it, depending on how much you follow my stuff, that twits. But I said, every law infringes upon a right.
Yeah, I saw that.
And the person said, well, what about anti-discrimination laws? And my response is, it infringes upon the right of a business to decide who the hell it wants to hire.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you can make all kinds of arguments that, you don't want a business, arbitrarily not hiring someone because they're gay or straight, because they're man or woman, because they're old or young, because they're black or Hispanic. But it is still an infringement upon that business's ability to make its own decision.
That's right. Yep.
And the potential employee has no right to demand the employers hire me.
Yep.
Which is why I've been using that quote for the last day or two. By what right do you demand from me that which will benefit you?
Mm-hmm. So I saw that one also. Yep.
So, you know, the point is to get, you know, who's doing. So my other question to be would be, name one person any time in the last 2 or 3 years that you think is promoting liberty. I haven't been able to think of somebody at this point.
That's going to take some thought.
Right.
I mean, there is nobody that jumps right out from the top of my head, which means
right.
that I am going to have to search a little bit.
The easy one is the American military.
Yeah.
You know, and there might be individuals in the military. You can't single them out. That's,
right.
You know, not there, but, you know, there are going to be situations like that. In any case, you know.
You know,
it's
too bad that we limit it to the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, why? If you've got someone else.
Martin Luther King.
Ooh, that's rather interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that's what that guy was about.
Yeah. You know, and that's what, you know, and that's why I'm standing where I'm standing. And this is something that I kind of want to discuss at some point on the show. You know, because I'm getting a lot of shit from people, you know, on both sides of the spectrum. And that's fine. I like it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Probably, you know,
not doing it right
if you aren't. Yeah, conservatives are going, how the hell can you be conservative if you're for gay rights? And I'm going, like, how the fuck can you be conservative and not be for gay rights? Okay? You know? So, you know, and of course, you know, I'm getting the people on the left going, hey, you're selling out. How the hell can you be conservative if you're gay? You know, you're just killing your own people.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but, you know, correct.
Freaking Oreo.
Actually, I'd probably be more along the lines of a Fig Newton.
Yeah. Very good.
Cake on the outside, fruity in the middle.
Yeah, there you go.
Tasty in the middle.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Why can't I find what the name of the space station is?
I don't know.
I'm sitting here on NASA's site, and it just keeps going, the International Space Station. That had a goddamn name.
Well, actually, ISS is its name, and Freedom may be a colloquial name. Have you Googled Space Station Freedom or anything like that?
No, that's just what I was doing. Space Station Freedom. Space Station Freedom.
Hey.
Space Station Freedom was the name given to NASA's project to construct a permanently named manned Earth-orbiting space station. Freedom was never constructed or completed as originally designed. The remnants of the project became part of the International Space Station.
Okay.
So it was Freedom when it was ours, and now it's ISS.
When it's international.
Because it's international.
Yep. And by God, if we're international, we sure can't. Sure as hell can't be for freedom.
All right.
All right.
So, you can't use the space station.
Nope. Actually, you know, that is going to take some kind of in-depth thought. I mean, that because once I exhaust Martin Luther King, I'm at least in terms of recipients, I draw blanks, so that's going to take some thought. If we talk about symbols, that's going to take a lot of thought to try and find something that people will recognize as a symbol of liberty, without being necessarily explicitly United States of America.
No, I think I want it to be explicitly American.
Do you? Okay. I mean, I don't have an objection to that. That will confine itself then to pretty much specific Americans. And I'm not making a judgment on that. I'm just saying, okay, if it is specifically American symbols, as hard as we're coming up, trying to come up with Americans that will fit that, it's going to be even harder to find international figures that fit that.
Yeah, one of the things that I was thinking about, well, first of all, think about, you know, the original purpose of the medal. Which
right.
was to honor victories in the American Revolutionary War.
Right.
Okay. And then I started thinking, well, what about, you know, having certain dates on there? And, of course, I thought of 9/11 and December
right.
7th, and I'm thinking,
mm-hmm.
well, those weren't liberty-inducing things.
No.
And they certainly weren't victories.
Nope.
So then I started thinking, well, at this point, you know, what about other dates that are not so familiar that might be, that might actually do that, and then...
Well, VE Day.
No. Let me see if I can find it.
Well, what, I'm, that's, what, November the 11th? Isn't it?
September 22nd,
1862. Hmm. 1862. Well, now is when I need my lib youngest brother, who's a historian by education. Couldn't tell you. 1862.
Proclamation by Abraham Lincoln.
Emancipation Proclamation?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. By the way, did you see the debate raging on that one?
No.
Oh. Big debate on that as to whether that was actually an emancipation of blacks, or whether that was a go-ahead to southern states to, yeah, you can have your slaves, but you can't expand any further. And I haven't researched it beyond that. I just saw that debate and said, okay, that's an item of interest. I need to look at that.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, the reality is, you know, the Declaration of the U.S. Constitution, Declaration of Independence, wasn't perfect either.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And I get so frustrated with the argument that, well, you guys aren't perfect. Well, you're right, we aren't. But you know what? We're trying to get there. Recognizing that we won't, but we're trying.
Okay. So that's one potential date besides the there. Well, you know, it going with your idea of Martin Luther.
Mm-hmm.
What was the date of that speech?
Oh God. Which one? I Have a Dream speech or the assassination?
No, I Have a Dream.
Yeah. I was hoping you were going to say that.
No, I'm. August 28th, 1963.
Yeah.
And then the question, well, you know, there's other symbols. You might want to consider the idea of, you know, I thought about the Lincoln Memorial and then went, no. You know, I don't think of Lincoln and Liberty in the same thought.
No, me either. And I don't know if that's a disservice or not, but. You're right, I don't.
What about Washington?
Well, sure.
So, the Washington Monument as one of the possible icons?
Yeah. Again, that's only going to be, well, that will be partially recognized in the United States. I am sure there are people that have no idea what the hell that spire is.
Well, if we wanted to go back to, you know, France, the Arc de Triomphe, but that's not necessarily a Liberty thing either.
No, it isn't.
Too many people would miss the relationship anyways.
Mm-hmm. The problem is, Tracy, is we are too educated.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it truly is. You know what would be interesting? I don't know if you follow Cam Wright or, and I'm drawing a blank on the other kid's name. It would be interesting to pose the question to them. And I think I may do that. Not in terms of the project, simply, what do you think of as icons of liberty? And see what they come up with.
Just had something I wanted to look up. All right. You have some things to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to be involved in this?
Sure, I do.
This is not an ACP project.
No. Wasn't thinking of it in those terms. Don't mind if ACP is a sponsor. Assuming they ever get anywhere with all, but I'm not. That was not the first thought that crossed my mind about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a grassroots thing. And I think that there's lots of grassroots out there that would welcome something like that, would get excited about it. So let's kick that around and see where it goes. you're busy designing a website for it. There's a lot of stuff that has to happen on that.
I'm not even going to put the website up. I've got the domains and I'm hanging on to them, and I don't have to do anything with it. I'm
going
to work on the metal. And keep thinking about how the metal can work. Oh, shit.
Yes.
I actually have to, get our website, our show up.
Oh.
To have the right archive going. And see how many people we had today. Oh, 10 live. We're up.
Ooh, good.
All right. We'll keep talking about it. That's kind of where the place to go. As far as where I want to go with that.
Yep.
And you know, ooh, who was inspired by Palin?
Huh?
Wow. Inspired by Palin is now following me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I've seen that handle before.
2,700 followers following 2,900 people with 2,300 updates.
Mm-hmm.
How many updates do you have?
Oh, gosh, I don't know, 3,000-something.
I just went over 1,000 today.
Cool.
Okay.
I think that's great. I am not enamored of huge followers or followings.
Right.
My thing is are you going to add value? If you are, then that's fine. I will follow you. If you're a life coach, if you're a multi-level marketer, if you're a whatever, I'm sorry. Unless you've got a tweet in your recent tweets there that intrigues me, you're toast. ain't happening.
Right, and you know I've got a fair amount of libs and conservative on my tweets, so.
Yeah. I may not have gotten the right libs because every one of them winds up calling me a racist, a whatever. They start the personal attacks. The first time that happens, they're blocked. They're gone. I'm sorry. that ain't happening.
All right.
All righty, kiddo. We got lots of stuff to think about, huh?
Yeah,
that's a good thing. Okay.
We'll
I will talk to you later. Bye.